Before we begin, I wanted to give a huge shout out to the folks at Amazon Music for partnering with us on this episode of the Inside Line F1 podcast. But more on this later. Right then, let's get right into today's episode. You wanted more Formula One? You've got more Formula One. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back yet again for the last race of the triple header this time out. It's time, not for the Brazilian GP. Yes, it is the São Paulo Grand Prix. A fun little stat out here. I think the last four races of the season, we've got Mexico City, we've got São Paulo, we've got Abu Dhabi and also Las Vegas. Four cities that have Grand Prix named after them. Not really the name of the country. Interesting little quirk that. But that's just one part of what's in store this weekend. On this particular episode of the Inside Line F1 podcast, we're going to be talking about the main stories and the main talking points. No, we're not going to discuss why we love or hate the sprint. I think we're far away from that. We've had far too many of them to discuss that. But we're going to be talking about the quirks of this weekend. Because for free practice one, it seems that there is rain forecast. And that, folks, is the only real practice session of the weekend. More on Red Bull racing, more on Mercedes and McLaren and their sprint dominance. And also other interesting stories across the grid. That's what's in store for the the São Paulo GP preview on the Inside Line F1 podcast. But folks, let's introduce everyone on the show. My name is Somal Arora. I'm the host and the voice of MotoGP's Indian Grand Prix. I'm also the host and commentator for the upcoming Indian Racing League on Star Sports. Joining me at the Indian Racing League will also be F1 Stats Guru, who's now, apart from being just one of the members of the WTF1 content pool and also one whose stats are read on every single Sky broadcast, he's now also going to be supplying stats to the Indian Racing League. So we're part of the same team once again. And as always, I've got Kunal Shah here with me as well, former marketing head of the Sahara Force India Formula One team and an FIA-accredited Formula One journalist for the Viaplay Network. So first things first, when are you coming to the Indian Racing League, Kunal? It's two out of three now.
Well, I would love to drive in the Indian Racing League if there are any cockpit positions open. I think I'm pretty fit enough, maybe a little underweight, so the ballast positioning will also help. But it's so great. You know, we at the Inside Line with what the three of us and Mithila have been putting together over the years is delivering quality podcasts, yep. Social media stuff, especially with what Sundaram is doing with his social media handle, F1 Stats Guru. We are doing events, race screenings as a big plan for Abu Dhabi, which we will reveal soon enough. And then, of course, you know, we are hosting MotoGP with you, Somil. We're doing the Indian Racing League with the two of y'all. I think it's so exciting to be on this journey with you both and then carry forward Indian motorsport fans into a way of how, you know, I think what people like about us is the way we present our content and the lens with which we see our motorsport, especially Formula One.
It'll be so much fun, right, to also do more and more of that. And Abu Dhabi will be sharing our plans with you very soon. It's going to be massive in Mumbai. But let's start off with Brazil, guys, because this weekend, I'm super excited to see what we have in store in terms of the things on track. But the first thing that really clicks up to me, Sundaram, is the sprint race music. I know we've had four sprints in the past before this one, but it seems like nobody notices it. It's got a very Street Fighter vibe, and the way it builds up is kind of fun in a way. I mean, you imagine the shot, Qatar, right? Night skies, you're looking at the sky, and the circuit's just illuminated in the dark. Then you've got that da-da-da-da-da-da music in the background. That is just one of the exciting parts of this weekend. There could also be more with Mercedes in the fight.
Now that you mentioned about the intro music for the sprint, I never really noticed it until you mentioned it today.
So good.
So is that something that's been there only for this year's sprint, or has it been a case for all the
seasons?
I think
only
so
this
far?
Year, but they've really nailed the choice. And fun little quirk, it's the F1 2020 Games closing credits music. They just picked it off. Like, yeah, we can use that. It's kind of like a hardcore rock remix of
I'll really need to pay some attention to that. But does it really live up to the hype? Do you see those sort of street fight battles during the sprint as well?
Hopefully we do, because Mercedes this time, Sundaram, I mean, last couple of years, sprint winners and race winners over here. If anything, that is the kind of hype that we all are building up to, right? We had Lewis Hamilton win here in 21, Russell win here in 22. And the fun part is the conditions are exactly the same as last year. Sprint weekend, one free practice session. I mean, realistically, Sundaram, if there's any weekend where it could go wrong for Red Bull, it is this one, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think this is the right time to kind of plug in my favorite stat from this weekend. It's that since 2017, every Hungarian Grand Prix pole sitter has won that year's Brazilian Grand Prix. So 2017, Vettel, 2018, Hamilton, 2019, Max Verstappen, 2021, Lewis Hamilton, 2022, George Russell took pole in Hungary and he won in Brazil. Do the both of you remember who took pole this year in Hungary?
My goodness.
It was Lewis Hamilton. So it kind of coincides perfectly, firstly on the pattern, but secondly also to be very serious, the pace that Mercedes have shown in recent races. They finished second in USA, but they got disqualified. But Lewis and Mercedes in specific, ever since they kind of brought that upgrade over the last few races, they've really looked to be able to challenge Red Bull. Now, I'm not saying that they will be able to do it on race pace, but it seems one of the more likelier venues where a Mercedes win could be possible.
But on that subject, Kunal, it's never really two Mercedes drivers challenging, right? As I mentioned in the last episode as well, and we did some digging up, it's always just one of them. I think Singapore was the only time we had both the Mercedes legitimately fighting for a win. I wonder who it's going to be. But it's not just Mercedes in the fight, is it? McLaren have quite the sprint record.
Samuel, I'm going to read out your big stat. There's been I think five out of the last six races there are different drivers in P2, which is what shows McLaren after Mexico City, what happened. Lando Norris making all the mistakes. They will want to fight back irrespective of what the format of the race is going to be. And for all you sprint lovers, this is actually the last sprint race of the season, which also means that for those who don't love the sprint, you've got to wait at least 6 months before a sprint actually comes back. So, you know, plus and minuses of the format. But also, I think this is the 1099th Formula One Grand Prix in history, which I think is pretty incredible. A lot of history because even, for example, Brazil, it's 50th race in Brazil, 40th race being held at Interlagos. One buzzword wheel here through the weekend is Interlagos means between the lakes in Portuguese, which is something that keeps happening. Maybe that could be one of the drinking games for the weekend. But all in all, I think if there's any circuit which deserves a sprint, it is Brazil, because statistically very high chance to overtake out here. And in general, just such a beautiful circuit in itself, guys.
Yeah, over the rolling hills with the buildings in the background, it is phenomenal. And just that section from the last corner to turn one, the curve straight and the amount of passes we see there, the amount of slipstreaming we get, it is phenomenal to watch. But on that subject as well, I think, Sundaram, track limits are legitimately going to be a discussion this time out. Not for the conventional way. Because remember, 2021, we had Verstappen and Hamilton with that big, big fight. And Verstappen pushing Hamilton off at turn number four, then coming across on the circuit. And then everyone debating who's right in this case. Are you allowed to push someone out? Same story in Silverstone 2023 as well, between Lance Stroll and Pierre Gasly. I get a feeling this is one of the circuits where all the passing opportunities largely come around the outside because of the camber of turn one and turn four. And that same discussion is going to be brought up again. When is someone legitimately allowed to push someone off the track? That's going to be a major, major fight for the FIA. And I can't wait to see if they're consistent with it this time out.
Well, that's been a constant topic of debate. And I think the stewards are going to be kept slightly busy, if not as busy as how they were in Austria. But we've also seen Fernando Alonso and Esteban Ocon coming together. Was that last year? Turn four, the very same place where Verstappen supposedly pushed Hamilton. So that's what there are these sort of sections on this track where you seem that you would be pushed across. And surely the stewards would have to do a lot of reviewing in that sense. And for me, it still is a little gray, this whole rule on when do you push someone out or when is someone ahead, who really can take the corner, because there's been a lot of discussion about what happened at turn one and in Mexico. Was it Sergio Perez's corner? And similarly, was it Max Verstappen's corner at Silverstone? So I don't think so. These are like-for-like cases. But once again, I think we'll be served of some very, very interesting scenarios this weekend as well.
And in those scenarios, who would you put your money on, Kunal? Because I think Sundaram, you discovered a really fun stat about McLaren and their sprint prowess, didn't you? About how good they've actually been since their new upgrades have come about.
Oh, actually, yes. McLaren have scored the third most points this season in sprint events. And overall, they are the team after the big three to take the most points in sprint events. But the interesting fact is, McLaren did not score in a sprint, in the first two sprints, in fact. They did not score a single point in the first two sprints. And what they've managed to do the next three sprints, they've actually scored more points than Mercedes this year in sprints. And so it does kind of, you know, work well for them. They've had one P1, one P2, one P3. So they do well in sprints in general.
So Piastri or Norris, Kunal? Who's your money on?
I think it's going to be Lando Norris. He's made a couple of mistakes in the last few rounds. I think it was Qatar and qualifying, track limits. Mexico City, again, going out in Q1, making a mistake. He knows that he needs to be up there. The car's with him. He knows he's got to be up there pretty much every session. And it's great that he's able to accept his mistakes, but now it's about also not making the mistakes. But having said that, Oscar Piastri has gone very well in the sprints as well this round. And, you know, I love how quickly he's able to learn circuits and sort of master them and be as close to Lando Norris in no time. And, you know, my mind also goes back to the circuit again, because altitude was of discussion in Mexico. I think Interlagos is also 800 meters above sea level. Yep. You know, I love the turn 12 exit all the way, almost a 1.2 kilometer long straight with elevations, undulations leading into the turn one, breaking corners, then suddenly dropping down to turn four, another 40 odd meters that goes in. Two beautiful sequence of corners. You've got the S's out there. I think in general, this is one of the most beautiful circuits to go racing at, and Formula One does go ahead. And I think I can't remember, and maybe this is a question for you guys and everybody, which circuit also has an uphill grid? Because if you see the grid, you literally see, I think Suzuka has a downhill grid, if I remember correctly, but this is an uphill grid where you gently have to be on the brake so you don't roll backwards, but you're also going to be reacting quick enough when the lights are on that you just go forward. So interesting thing this weekend, you know, fast and flowy. I think sectors 1 and 3. I can see both of y'all are guessing, but I'm just going to fast and flowy sectors 1 and 3 needs low drag setup. Middle sector, I love how you just keep turning all the time, one corner leading to another. So balance, aero efficiency is always going to be key again. And, you know, circuits like these, I'm always like, what can Williams do now? Because Albon has now scored in 7 races this season, which is incredible for him and for Williams.
Wait a minute. I know one driver who's not going to let him score a lot. Lewis Hamilton. They've got history here. Not once. I think twice. No, I think once here and once in Austria. So I have got one piece of advice for Alex Albon this weekend. If you have a great qualifying and you find yourself fighting against the Mercedes, please make a move on the inside. You've gone to the outside far too many times and have seen it not go well. Please, please, please use the wise move. Make the wise choice. Go to the inside line. I beg you, you need to score some points. Because remember, was it 2019? I think 2019, he got chucked over by Lewis Hamilton. And Helmut Marko basically said that was the one win that essentially cost Alex Albon his Red Bull seat. Because had he won, confidence would have been different. And then so on and so forth. Yeah, crazy, isn't it, Sundaram?
One of two potential Albon wins, if you remember, what was it, Austria 2020? Another race where he was chucked out by Lewis Hamilton going into turn four. But I really have to come back to the circuit point, because like Kunal mentioned, it's a fast flowy section. Sectors 1 and 3 are full throttle, and it's only the middle sector that has a little bit of dependence on downforce. But it's a classic circuit. It's an old school circuit. And it's also visible in the sort of results that you see. Because in the hybrid era alone, the one circuit that has seen the most overtakes is Interlagos of all circuits. Monaco sits at the other end of the spectrum. Interlagos takes the higher end. And that's also one of the reasons why Interlagos is the only venue which has hosted a sprint ever since it's been introduced in every year. It's the only venue. So 2021, 2022, and 2023. It's the only reason because you see a lot of battles during the race, during the sprints. And that's why it's one of my more enjoyable races or enjoyable events in the whole season.
And just to add, I mean, what you said, even though overtaking is so statistically high, I think I can just remember two races which were won from drivers who started outside of the front row. 2021, Lewis Hamilton starting 10th. He had that mega recovery weekend, especially to keep his championship hopes high. And they went equal on points into Abu Dhabi, if you guys remember. And then 2007 was Kimi Raikkonen, who started third and won the race, won the title. But for a race which is statistically so much better with overtaking, still sees only the front row starting drivers claim win. And hence, I'm also looking forward to qualifying. We're going to have two qualifying sessions, the opportunity to sort of see. I think qualifying has been extremely entertaining pretty much every race weekend, you know, whether it's extremely close or Max is so dominant that he just pulls, you know, 6-7 tenths on P2. So that's going to be exciting to see for me this weekend. And, you know, again, there's just so much history that Brazil Interlagos represent in Formula One. And we're going to see more history that could be added this weekend. If Red Bull win, it'll be their 19th win of the season, something they'll match with Mercedes from a couple of years ago, I believe, again. So another one for the stats, I guess. But three different pole sitters in the last 3 years. It was Magnussen, Bottas, Verstappen. Three different winners in the last 3 years as well. Russell, Hamilton, and Verstappen. So Kevin Magnussen had, of course, the sprint pole, but inherited pole for the race weekend. This was when that statistical anomaly used to exist as well.
Exactly. Thank goodness it doesn't anymore. But yeah, one more point to watch for this weekend. Rain in FP1. Chaotic? Yes, I think it's going to be because it's the only practice session. Slip-ups could happen because teams will not know what setup to take. And once they're in it, they're boxed in. And that could be another point of contention. But I see you have another point to add on that, Sundaram, because there are more things that make this weekend so interesting.
Now, you mentioned rain, and obviously my mind goes back to last year and the sort of incredible qualifying that we had last year. And I think in general, rain really mixes things well, and you see a lot of drivers emerging. I think the true emergence of Max Verstappen happened at this very track in 2016. A brilliant show of, brilliance in general of that talent. When he, I think he finished P2 in that race just behind Lewis Hamilton. But the one question I really want to ask and really want to test you both is, there's only one team this year where both of its drivers have taken pole position at Brazil. Which team is that?
Mercedes, right? No. It's Haas. Yes, it has to be.
It's hard.
2010 and so, 2022,
so
yes.
So not many of you know that Nico Hülkenberg does have a pole position in Formula One, if not a podium. And that came at this very circuit in 2010 with the Williams team. But there are two schools of thought. Many people consider the person who starts the race from P1 is the person who has pole position. So if you're one of those people like me, then you would say Mercedes has both the drivers taking pole position here. But if you talk statistically, if you talk officially, then it's yes, it is Kevin Magnussen and Nico Hülkenberg.
Not bad.
Wow. I have Checo Perez on my radar. What can he do? Two qualifying sessions, but just one free practice. And can you imagine, he's had two DNFs in the last four races, but had Hamilton not been disqualified in Austin, they would have gone equal on points into Brazil. That's how poor his season has been, and that's how classic Lewis Hamilton's season has been. So what can Checo Perez do? That's another key point for me, I would say. Also, I think Fernando Alonso is going to be to watch out for. Triple header, but he's been the only driver to not finish the first two races in the triple header. He's also now, I think Carlos Sainz has overtaken him, and Lando Norris is just 14 points away. From a driver fighting for second and third in the driver's championship is suddenly tumbling down the order as well. And lots of rumors around Aston Martin, which we will see being addressed. Is it on sale? Will Fernando Alonso and Checo Perez swap? I know Alberto Fabrega and Will Buxton raised some of these rumors. Will there be any merit in it? Red Bull Spain joined it in the fun. So great stuff for social media. Usually I used to think that a fortnight's break was too much for Formula One, but it seems that between Mexico and Brazil, even a five-day break seems too much for Formula One to handle. Hence this rumor. And guys, if you really want some online traction on social media, type the words F1 paddock rumor and leave it, and you will see the algorithms blow it out of proportion.
So hard to tell how much of it is real, how much of it is absolute BS. But we'll get to see more of that confirmed as the weekend goes on. But last thing for today, predictions very quickly. Again, you know me well enough. Carlos Sainz is always going to be half of my prediction because my heart is always there. But I get a feeling for Formula 1.5, I'm going for a Lewis Hamilton win because I can't deny F1 stats guru stat. What about you guys? F1.5 predictions.
I would say...
Go on.
Sundaram first. The stats.
I think I heavily rely on my patterns, and no matter even if Max Verstappen breaks them, every single time, even I'm gunning for a Lewis Hamilton race win.
I would say Lewis Hamilton as well. I think he's just got some momentum going in him, some positivity, etc. Rain in the mix. I think it rains 1 in 3 days in Brazil, which is great. The currency of Brazil is real, or real, as they would probably say. So it's going to be a real weekend for Lewis Hamilton, I think. And Max Verstappen, of course, for winning Formula One. I think what's it going to be? He's won pretty much everything since Brazil last year, barring 3 races, I believe, or something, won 14 out of the last 15 races, or 30 out of the last 40, or some really, really crazy numbers. And my favorite, he has won 10 of Charles Leclerc's pole positions. Will it be an 11th this weekend? That's what I'm going to look out for.
All these...
You really had to rub it in at the very end, right? You really had to do that. We steered clear from talking about Ferrari and their drivers, and you really had to mention that. Okay.
Well, that's
just why people should be tuning and staying tuned in till the very end before Saumil now delivers his parting note.
It's not a parting note. What I'm going to say at the very end is there are so many points for us to look forward to, but not for Aston Martin. If you're an Aston Martin fan, sorry, this episode doesn't exist. 5 things to watch for. What do you mean 5 things to watch for? There's nothing to watch for. So as a Fernando Alonso fan, I will see you straight away in Australia. No, let's go Bahrain now. Okay, but we'll see you folks for the race review on Monday for the Brazilian GP. And we'll be back with a lot more information about our events, because for Las Vegas and for Abu Dhabi in Mumbai, we're planning some really exciting stuff. So subscribe to the Inside Line F1 podcast on all of your social media handles. And we'll be back for more very soon. Take care. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Inside Line F1 podcast. Before we ended, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Amazon Music once again for partnering with us on this episode of the podcast.